I don't know, her mother said. I don't feel comfortable with it. Zan's eyes got large. His mouth gaped like she'd just said the worst, most unexpected thing he'd ever heard. Mom! It was Sunday, and the walk into town for church was warm, the air thick and sticky. A soft midnight rain had left the track muddy and slick, so Kara kept to the edge where moss and clover made a kind of carpet. The tiny green-black leaves made wet sounds under her feet, but didn't soak her shoes. You have responsibilities at home, her mother said, and Zan lifted his hands in exasperation and disbelief, like he was a half-sized copy of their father. Kara had seen the same gesture 1,000 times. I already told Santiago I'd help him, Zan said. He's expecting me. Have you finished all your chores? Yes, Zan said. Kara knew it wasn't true. Her mother did too. That was what made the conversation so interesting. Fine, she said, but be home before dark. Zan nodded. More to himself, Kara thought, than to their mother. A little victory of persistence over truth. After services, Zan could go off and play with his friends instead of being home the way he was supposed to. Probably she should have been angry at how unfair it was that her brother got to bend the rules and she didn't, but she liked it better when the house and the forest were hers. Maybe her parents did too. It wasn't really such a bad outcome, if everyone was tacitly happy with it. Kara's father walked 12 meters ahead with Jan Poole, the agricultural specialist. Jan's house was on the way to town, and the older man joined them for the walk into church each week. Or anyway, he did now that they went in for services. Before the soldiers came, Kara remembered church being a much more optional thing. There had been months when Sunday morning hadn't meant anything more strenuous than sleeping in and making breakfast for all of them to eat in their pajamas. Kara still wasn't sure why the arrival of the soldiers and their ships had changed that. It wasn't as though the soldiers made people come. Most of the men and women who'd come down from the ships to live on the planet didn't come to church, and those that did weren't any different from the science teams. When she'd asked, her mother had made an argument about needing to be part of the community that hadn't made any sense. It all came down to, this was the way they did things now. And so, they did them. Kara didn't like it, but didn't hate it either. And the walk could be nice enough. She already knew, the same way she knew she'd get her period, or that she'd move into her own house, that someday she'd push back against the weekly routine. But someday wasn't yet. Services were held in the same space as school, only with the tables taken out and benches made from local wood analogs hauled into rows for people to sit on. Who gave the sermon varied week by week. Most times it was someone from the original science teams, but a couple of times one of the soldiers' ministers had taken a turn. It didn't really matter to Kara. Apart from the timbre of their voices, the speeches all sounded pretty much the same. Mostly, she let her mind wander and watched the backs of the heads of all the people in front of her. The people from town and the soldiers who'd come to the surface all sitting together but apart, like words in a sentence with the spaces between them. It wasn't the same for the kids. Zan and little Santiago Singh played together all the time. Maggie Crowther was widely rumored to have kissed Mohammed Serengay. It wasn't that the kids didn't recognize the division, so much as that it didn't matter to them. The more soldiers came down the well, the more normal it was to have them there. If that worried her parents, it was only because they were used to it being a different way. For Kara and Zan, and all the others in their cohort, it had always been like this. It was their normal. After the sermon, they trickled out into the street, Some families left immediately, but others stood around in little clumps, talking the way the adults did after church. The results of the new xenobotany run looked promising, and the soldiers are breaking ground on a new barracks, and David Keller's house needs repair again, and he's thinking of taking the soldiers up on their offer of new accommodations in town. Speculation on the water purification project and the weather cycles data and the platforms or stick moons or whatever people wanted to call them. And always the question, sometimes spoken but often not, have you heard anything from Earth? The answer to that was always no. But people asked anyway. Church was all about rituals. Standing with the sunlight pressing against her face, trying not to be impatient, was as much a part of the day as the sermon. After what seemed like hours and hadn't been more than half of one, Zan and Santiago ran off with a pack of the other children. Stephen De Camp finished his conversation with her parents and wandered off toward his own home. The church crowd scattered, and Kara got to follow her parents back to their house. The road was flat, but the prospect of going back to the pond, of seeing the dogs again, made it feel like she was walking downhill. "More," her mother said when they were out of earshot of the others. Her tone of voice told Kara it was part of a conversation that was already in progress, one she hadn't been part of. Her father's sigh confirmed that. "We knew that would happen," he said. "You can't expect them to live in orbit forever. Being in a gravity well will be good for them. Not sure what it will be for us." Her father shrugged and glanced toward Kara, not to include her, but to postpone the conversation until she wasn't around. Her mother smiled thinly, but she let it drop. "Why don't you ever go play with the other children?" she asked instead. "I do when I want to," Kara said. "Must be nice," her mother replied with a chuckle, but didn't go on farther than that. As soon as they were home, Kara changed out of her good clothes, grabbed a lunch of toasted grains and dried fruit, and ran out the back. She took a jacket, but not because she'd get cold. She figured that if the dogs brought the drone back, she'd be able to wrap it up and sneak it back into the house that way. Then she could put it in her mother's case later when no one was watching. A drone had to be easier to fix than a sunbird, after all. At the pond, Mama Bird was sitting at the edge of the water, unmoving and wax-skinned. The tiny, angry black eyes focused on nothing in particular. The babies hissed and spat and chased each other around the pond, diving sometimes, or flapped their pale leathery wings. Kara sat a little way off and ate, watching them. The dogs might not come back today. They might never come back. Maybe they ate drones. Or maybe sunbirds rose from the dead on their own. That was the thing about Laconia. With so much that no one knew, anything was possible. After a while, she folded the jacket into a pillow, got out her handheld, and read part of a book about a lost boy looking for his family in the overwhelming press of people in the North American Shared Interest Zone. She tried to imagine what it would be like walking down a single street with 1,000 other people on it. It seemed like it was probably an exaggeration. The afternoon heat drew a line of sweat down her back. A chittering flock of four-legged insect-like things roiled through the sky like a funnel cloud before diving onto the water, covering the pond in a layer of shining blue and green, brighter than gemstones, for 5 or 6 minutes, before rising again at the same instant and shooting away into the trees. Kara hadn't seen them before. She wondered if they were a migrant species, or something local that hadn't crossed her path before. Or maybe this was the kind of thing she was supposed to tell Instructor Hanu about. That seemed weird, though. What was there to say except, I saw something I haven't seen before? As if that wasn't always true. It would be a strange day when that didn't happen. She did feel a little guilty, not saying anything about the dogs, though. Something that took dead animals and made them not dead would be the sort of thing the soldiers wanted to know about, would want to capture and study. She wondered if the dogs would want to be captured and studied. She thought not, and they'd already done more for her than the soldiers ever had. The sun slid westward. The fronds of the trees clattered in the breeze like someone dropping a handful of sticks forever. The anticipation and excitement of the morning mellowed and soured with every hour that the dogs didn't come back. The shadows all lost their edges as thin, high clouds caught the sunlight and softened it. A flash of red and yellow from the stick moons faded and flared and faded again. Artifacts of whatever long-dead species had built the gates. She watched the lights flutter and stream like a kite caught in some different, gentle wind, or a bioluminescent creature like they had on Earth, something alive, only not alive, like Mama Bird. She wondered if maybe the stick moons were like that too, something in between. And maybe the dogs. Something moved in the darkness under the trees, and she sat up. The dogs came out, ambling toward her gracefully on their oddly jointed legs. Kara scrambled to her feet, stepping toward the dogs that weren't dogs. Or if they were, they were what Laconia meant by the word. The big, apologetic eyes fixed on her. And she grabbed her own hands. She didn't know why, but she felt like she should wave or bow or do something to show them that she was glad they were there. "Hi," she said. "I didn't think you'd come." The dogs came around her, making a semicircle with her at the center. The drone hung from the mouth of one at the back, vortex thrusters powered down and clicking against each other like fingernails. "Were you able?" Kara said. Then, "Did you fix it?" The dog with the drone came forward, lifting its head toward her. She took the drone, and the dog let it go. It was her mother's drone. There was no question about that. And the section she'd shattered was intact, but it looked different. The shards and splinters of its carapace were there, but a lattice of silver white made a tracework where the breaks had been, like a scar that marked a healed wound. There was no way her mother would fail to notice that. But it wouldn't matter, as long as it worked. She put the drone down on the clover, slaved it to her handheld. The thrusters hummed. The drone rose into the air, solid and balanced as ever. Kara felt the grin in her cheeks. "This is perfect," she said. "This is everything. Thank you so much." The dogs looked embarrassed. She powered down the drone and wrapped it carefully in her jacket as they turned and walked back into the dimness under the trees. She wondered where they went when they weren't at the pond. If there was some cave they slept in, or a pod where they curled up at night. She had a hard time picturing that. And it wasn't as if they had real mouths to eat with. Maybe they all went to some kind of alien power jack and filled up whatever they used as batteries. "Thank you," she shouted again into the shadows. She stood, holding the drone to her chest like it was a baby. "If there's anything I can do for you..." She didn't finish the sentence. She walked back home quickly, her steps quickened by the prospect of being home, of sneaking the drone into a room unseen. She'd have to be clever to get it back into its case without her parents knowing she'd taken it. There were two ways into the house, the front that faced the road to town, and the back by the garden and the shed. The question was, which would be most likely to get her past her family's watchful eyes and safely into her room? It was getting close to dinner time, so the front would probably be best, since at least one of them would be in the kitchen. Or she could stow the drone in the shed under the cart and wait until everyone was asleep. That probably made more sense. She knew something was wrong the moment she stepped in the back door. The air felt different, like the moment before a storm. Soft voices she didn't recognize came from the living room. She walked toward them with the sense of entering a nightmare. Her father was sitting on a chair. His face had literally turned gray. A uniformed soldier stood beside him, head bowed, and Santiago Singh was behind them, looking away. The boy's eyes were puffy and red from crying. No one turned to her. It was like she was invisible. Her mother walked in from the front door, footsteps hard and percussive. Her mouth was tight, and her eyes as hard as rage. She gazed toward Kara without seeming to see her. "Mom?" Kara said, and her voice seemed to come from a long way away. "What's wrong?"